Hey, this is Ashley Eckstein, voice of Ahsoka Tano from Star Wars The Clone Wars and founder of Her Universe, and you're listening to We Be Geeks.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries are powered.
Mission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3, standing by.
Red 6, standing by.
Red 5, standing by.
Red Button, standing by.
Red Fox, standing by.
Big Red, standing by.
Red October, standing by.
Helen Reddy, standing by.
Simply Red, standing by.
Great Scott!
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
Meanwhile, across town at the home for the mentally deficient,
you have another episode of We Be Geeks. This time, episode 39. I am Mike, your host. On the other side of the table, we've got...
I'm Eric, your co-host.
And
I'm Mark, the guy that randomly pops in.
Yes.
At least a beast that camel from the Geico commercials.
I don't have...
he came by earlier today and...
Mike!
Leave me alone. Come on. Anyhow, we are, like I said, at episode 39.
And nobody loves us. We promised you Chris Claremont this week, and Chris Claremont has some strain of the Pax Pox and couldn't join us. But he will be on the show eventually.
Yes.
And our other co-host, Jessica, also could not join us tonight because she has been washed away in the flood.
There is no internet on that rubber raft.
Yes, she is very tiny, so she's just gone with the current.
So, how's that?
We bring you Mark.
Bring back Mark. So, how's everyone doing tonight?
Well, you really want to know about my night? I was in bed until Eric texted me saying that you didn't have Jess. And then, because I have spent the last 4 hours putting together a new entertainment center, and I have come to one conclusion, that if I could go back in time, if I ever get a time machine, I'm going back in time, and I'm killing the guy who invented that little Allen wrench.
That's why I use the Allen bench wrench. Allen? The Allen wrench bit on a ratchet screwdriver.
It's, you know what, I don't have that. I have a really nice DeWalt screw gun, but it wouldn't fit in the little space that I had to tighten the damn screws. I spent 4 hours building this thing. It's beautiful. But I spent 4 hours on it, and the tips of my fingers are raw from the Allen wrench. You know what? I'm not even gonna kill the. I'm gonna bring him back to now and make him buy all this furniture at IKEA.
I was just gonna say, did you get the entertainment center at IKEA?
No, I bought it actually at Big Lots.
It doesn't have a name like the Fugue or the Splurg.
No, it's just the entertainment center, but it's got one of those little electronic fireplaces in it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, because my wife is always freezing, so now for the rest of my life, I will sweat.
A woman is cold.
Yeah. It's just her, though. The kids are always hot. There's always a war over the thermostat in this house.
Well, with them off to college, you shouldn't have that problem.
No, they live at home. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They go to college. They don't actually live there, because, you know.
Oh, that's so awful. Terrible for them.
Yeah, no, they're good. I couldn't ask for better kids, so I shouldn't complain.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, I'm sure it's good for you, you know, it's less money, they're good kids, but, you know, they live at home and they're going to college. They can't be like, oh, hey, Mom, I'm going to be home late tonight, I'm going to smoke some weed and f*** dude that I just met.
They have no rules anyway. They're actually both barriers. They don't have curfews. They come home at a reasonable time and go to bed. They're actually, there's, especially the younger ones, she's gonna let us retire early.
Wow.
But other than that, it's all about iOS 7 for me today.
Oh, it should be for almost everyone who owns an Apple device.
Yeah, if you could download it and forget it to work.
Yeah, I'm holding back. I just got the notice on my iPad. It's like an update is available, but I've heard it doesn't work that well on the iPad yet. Everything I've heard says wait to update your iPad, especially the iPad 2, which is what I have.
That's what I have too, and I haven't tried it with my iPad yet. But it downloaded fast for me because I was off today, so I didn't have much to do this afternoon. And as soon as the notification hit, I downloaded it. Before I posted a status on Facebook about it, and I saw people were saying they were seeing like 5 hour wait times to download. But I did have a problem actually installing it. I guess it has to, the way iOS works is once you download it, it then has to verify the download before it'll install. So the servers must have just been getting hammered. Right. And, I downloaded it probably around 1 o'clock, and then it took me till about 6 to actually get it to install. So.
Oh.
And then I spent 4 hours building an entertainment center, so I didn't have a chance to play.
I started downloading it at 2, and it was, about 2:30, and it was ready to go by about 3:15, 3:20.
That's not bad. Yeah.
Mark, you're going to have to put it on your iPad and tell me how it runs. You can be my guinea pig.
All right. Let me look at my iPad.
I had the same problem. This reminds me of iOS 6. It took me like all day to update from 5 to 6.
Oh, 6 was a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Every update's the same. They all do the same thing. They take forever to download.
Yeah. Well, they have a really good uptake rate on OS updates, unlike Windows, where I think the biggest Windows operating system is still XP, isn't it? Or Vista?
Is it really?
I think it's Vista. I think the most Windows users use Vista. It's something like 25%.
Huh.
And Windows 8 is only like 5%.
I know Millennium Edition was pretty huge.
Yeah, but no one stuck with that because it was terrible.
I was going to say, did you actually use that?
No, I jumped from XP to 7, but the laptop I have is a Vista unit.
Yeah,
so I totally avoided ME.
I went from Windows 98 to Mac OS 10.1.
Went from a piece of crap to a Macintosh.
Yeah.
It says, this update cannot be installed because it requires at least 2.9 gigs of storage. I have to delete some.
For the phone, for the phone,
yeah,
it said it needed 3 gig of storage.
I don't know. I don't have anything on my, I guess I have to delete some comic books. I don't know what the hell I have on here.
But I found out.
That's probably just temporary storage.
Yeah, it is. Because the file itself is only like 798 meg.
Yeah.
Right.
But it needs all the room to move things around and everything else.
I'm just going to delete some apps here that I don't need. I have the
cat will not shut up. My cat wants to be on the podcast. Like he like heard what the and now he like thinks he's Mark Maron's cat and he wants to be on the podcast.
Since we have Mark for a limited time, let's go ahead and get into it. I think you started off with this one, Eric, with X-Men, Avengers writer.
Oh yeah, Brian Michael Bendis. Let me bring that up because I want to read it to our listeners in case they haven't heard this. And of course, it's not a link in the Google Drive. So,
actually, I do have it up. You want me to read it?
Oh, I'll do it. I like to hear myself talk.
Well, besides that.
Yeah, but it only takes a couple of seconds here. Okay, so if you don't know, Brian Michael Bendis has a Tumblr, and he takes questions from fans on Tumblr. And he got this one question from an anonymous person who's, you know, pretty he's anonymous. And the question was, I understand trying to make comics female-friendly, but aren't you guys worried that you're going to lose your core audience, which is male? In the X books, you've had more focus on the likes of these females like Jean and Kitty, while it should be Cyclops, who's been the star of X-Men comics for years. What warrants these characters more page time than him? Gene and Kitty are secondary characters. You guys listen too much to and they cause so much freaking drama in comic book. Now, the first thing I'm going to say, I think you can, because he definitely is. And I mean, my first problem with this is that Kitty Pryde, I think I said this last week, Kitty Pryde's like the main character behind Wolverine and X-Men comics for 30 years.
Right.
So Bendis replied, wow, you're the first person I am kind of glad asked your question anonymously because I don't want to know you. As a reader of my work, I want you to listen to me very carefully. You have major, major issues. Almost every line of your question reeks of complete misunderstanding of yourself as a man and of women in general. It's okay to find yourself more interested in something than others. Of course it is. It's okay to like Cyclops more than Jean Grey. But for you to draw the line at women characters not being interesting to you because you're a man and you think I'm being manipulated by some woman out there is really out there. And as a reader of X-Men, whose entire philosophy is about tolerance and understanding, you are missing the point.
That's a great response.
I know. I've never loved Brian Michael Bendis more than I do at this moment, and I used to read Alias every month.
Here's my opinion on this. Cyclops has its own book. It's called Uncanny Avengers. Read it if that's what you want to read.
Yeah, Uncanny X-Men.
Uncanny X-Men.
Uncanny Avengers is Havoc.
Yeah. You know what I meant.
Yeah, I know.
And the girls are awesome.
I know.
When you think about the complexity of characters in the X-Men series, the girls probably have some of the best ones.
Yeah, who the hell cares about Cyclops, really? I mean, Cyclops just got interesting when he turned into Magneto, like, 2 years ago.
Well, my question is going to be, is this guy going to be critical then of Claremont, considering he's the one who brought the empowerment to the women of X-Men?
Yeah, Claremont, for 17 years, Claremont is the guy who turned X-Men into a book that was sort of a metaphor for tolerance in the real world. I mean, it was always there to some extent from when Stan and Jack did it, but Claremont really pushed that.
Right.
And, I mean, Claremont basically is the X-Men.
Right.
He wrote that book for 17 years until he got pushed out by Jim Lee, who's doing such a bang-up job at DC nowadays.
During a time period where women were still, in many ways, still being considered second class, I mean, in the early 70s and whatnot, he brought the female characters of X-Men to a point that was almost controversial.
Yeah, well, he made Storm the leader of the X-Men.
Right.
And that was not long after he took over. They had written Len Wein, who was the writer before Claremont for like 3 issues, had written Jean Grey out. And right. One of the first things Claremont did was bring her back. Then he and Byrne introduced Kitty Pryde and Rogue. They made Storm the leader of the X-Men when Scott left because he also made Scott a kind of a major too.
Well, I guess my next question would be, would the guy who posed this question to Bendis, would he feel happier if Marvel changed it from X-Men to X-Persons? That way it covered everyone. It was more PC.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, when Brian Wood took over X-Men, he posted on Twitter, he goes, yeah, you know, I'm getting real tired of the, why don't you call it X-Women? He's like, I've heard that so many times.
Because the Constitution says all men are created equal, that's why.
Yeah, well, all white men.
So suck it, women.
The Constitution also calls black people 3/5 of a person, so.
More like 7/8.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Don't write hate mail.
We've only gotten one piece of hate mail so far, it was not very creative. Like, it was this dude who thought he was being really clever, but he was not. Yeah. Like, I don't want to talk about what it was because I don't want to give him the exposure. But it was this, like, really long hate mail letter that was, it was very polite.
Right.
But, I mean, he thought he was being clever and he was not.
And I will give our official response to that.
I'm sorry, your answer must be in the form of a question, but thank you for playing.
Mike just loves that soundboard.
I do.
It makes it feel more like a radio show.
It just makes it more fun.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad thing. I'd kill to be on radio. Are you kidding me? Eric Glass gets like 14 million listeners a week on radio.
Wow.
The Diane Reams Show gets 2 million. Have you ever heard of the Diane Reams Show?
No.
Yeah, me neither. They started playing it on NPR here. I've, like, never heard of her. And they're like, 2.2 million listeners a day. I'm like, really? It's like this old lady who talks about politics and books and stuff. It's like a panel show.
All righty. Well, moving on, if we can. Mighty Number 9.
I'm so excited about Mighty Number 9. What's that?
I know nothing about Mighty 1 through 8.
I know, right? Have you played Mega Man?
No.
You've never played Mega Man?
No, I had an Atari, and then I had a PlayStation. And I had nothing in between ever. So, I suck at video games. I just suck.
Yeah. Mega Man's not a good game to play if you suck at video games because it's very challenging. It's like, some of them are just like Nintendo hard. Where I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase, but it means not only is the game difficult, but it's like stupidly difficult because you have to have like these exactly timed jumps and stuff.
Right. Well.
And that's like the core of Mega Man. So the creator of Mega Man is on Kickstarter with a new game called Mighty Number 9 that looks pretty much exactly like Mega Man. And the premise is pretty much the same, too. It's, you know, you're this robot number 9, and you have to go fight the other 8 robots, take their powers, and make $2.5 million on Kickstarter. $2.3 they're up to now. Which means the game's going to be on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 and the Wii U.
And they were only asking for 900,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. I can't wait for this game. It looks amazing. Like, if you go to the Kickstarter, the art is classic Mega Man, sort of that cartoony Mega Man look. It's even got the funny parody names. The main robot number 9 is called Beck, and there's a Beck and Call online co-op challenge mode.
Right.
Then, you know, Mega Man was Rock Band, and they had Roll was his friend and bass in 4K. You know, it was full of puns.
Right.
So this looks to be just as full of puns. I mean, it's Mega Man. It's a next generation Mega Man game because Capcom doesn't want to make Mega Man games, apparently. They're too busy. Did you see they did that thing with the American box art Mega Man in, what was it, Street Fighter Cross Tekken or Capcom Cross Tekken or something?
Yeah, something like that.
It's like that's what they're going to do. They're going to put in, you know, the American box art Mega Man, the yellow and blue fat guy with a gun. We want Mega Man. And, you know, let me see how many backers this Kickstarter project has. 40,000 backers. 40,000 people have said,
Mega Man.
I want Mega Man. And they're willing to pay for it a year in advance.
Insane.
Because the delivery date is April 2015.
Wow. Well, if this is something that just started, it could take almost a year. Because I promise you, like EA Games, they're already working on next year's Madden, which will drop in next August.
Really? You think they're working on those Madden games really hard?
Yes.
And not just, you know, changing the roster?
Quite positive, yeah. They work on it pretty hard because they do some, I mean, even the minor changes is still, plus they're trying to, as they know more about the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, they're going to tweak it more and more towards that.
Yeah. At 3.3 million for Mighty Number 9, that'll be on the PS4 and Xbox One.
Wow.
I'm just going to get it on Steam. The Steam Box is coming.
Cool.
That's going to be disruptive, I think. They keep hinting at the Steam Box.
Right.
And it's essentially going to be a PC that you hook up to your television and play games on, which is pretty awesome as a concept to me because I think, depending on how they do it, it'll mean that you can use all those streaming services that are like, you must be on a PC for this. You'll be able to do that on your Steam Box.
Right.
Isn't that like web TV? I hated web TV.
Did you have one of those?
I had a buddy that had it. It was the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, I had it for a while. It was. It was terrible.
Now I have a smart TV that like hooks up to the web, but it sucks. Like I've never done well with things that hook up to the internet that aren't like a computer, like a real computer. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's the appeal of the Steam Box. It is a real computer as opposed to like, PlayStation, or I have a WDTV that sort of, does streaming services and stuff.
So basically like what you're saying is we're going to sell you a computer. We're not going to package it with a monitor because every TV nowadays has a hookup and every computer comes with an HDMI cable.
Just about.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's getting there.
It's from what I understand about the Steam Box project, the big things are ease of upgrading. Like everything that needs to upgrade to play video games will just slide out.
Okay.
Right.
And,
so you can upgrade your graphics card and everything easier.
Yeah. And it'll be, sort of optimized for a television and not a monitor. Like Steam has their big picture mode. So it's like it's meant to be controlled with a controller.
Oh. Interesting.
So, well, speaking of crowdsourcing, this one I'm going to bring up. I know it's not on the show notes, but it's something I caught.
Mike, you're throwing the show into chaos.
No, you guys are going to like this. On Indiegogo, there is Dark Knight Legacy.
It's amazing.
The ultimate Batman fan series.
It's amazing.
Oh
except
my God.
For the fact, it's amazing. I watched the first episode with the Red Hood. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen from as far as a fan film goes.
Yeah.
It's
incredible. It basically picks up a year after The Dark Knight Rises. So I'm assuming you're going to get a John Blake who's essentially playing Nightwing. And it just Gotham, it's about him being Nightwing they really haven't said if they're calling him Nightwing or Batman.
He is Nightwing. The first
episode is online if you Google it, and it starts with the Red Hood just taking out like every mob boss Gotham. It's awesome.
Right.
So it's like a television series, like a fan TV series?
They're trying to make it a web series.
Okay. Now, are they going to get sued out of oblivion before this ends, before the Indiegogo campaign ends?
I doubt it. I really doubt it. Because it's a fan film.
Yeah, but, DC could still theoretically sue them out of existence. And, with their track record lately.
True.
They'll just make them promise not to have a lesbian wedding and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Maybe if they kill a naked woman in a bathtub.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is they're going to have to bring in a new creative team for every episode.
Well, I think what they're, what they're actually looking to do is turn this into an actual fan film.
Okay.
That's just going to be pieced out on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because, like the $15 pledge is, in addition to receiving all prior rewards, you also get a digital copy of Dark Knight Legacy before, a month before it is released on YouTube, which is estimated delivery March of 2014. What Dark Knight Legacy is it follows, quote unquote, Robin, John Blake, his heroic journey to protect the symbol of Batman from the lethal, relentless attacks of a mass vigilante known as the Red Hood. A completely fan-funded series, Dark Knight Legacy is a series for fans, by fans, for fans. Every penny will be put towards creating an epic masterpiece that explores the world left behind in The Dark Knight Rises. Casting-wise, you have Daniel Vincent Gord as Nightwing.
There's not going to be anyone that we've heard of in the cast, though, is there?
The guy who played...
Murray Sterling as the Red Hood. Now, the guy who plays Nightwing looks like an older Lovett. Or Lovett.
Yeah.
Lovett's acting.
Stephanie
acting.
Brown.
Acting.
Now, Stephanie...
Nightwing. Yeah, that's the thing.
Stephanie Brown's being played by a no-name, Chloe Dykstra.
Oh, Chloe Dykstra, isn't it?
Yes, as Stephanie Brown.
Yeah, she's a cop.
Okay, this is going to get shut down. Because, and I'm not saying because Skydart is in it. I'm saying because Stephanie Brown is in it. And Dan Didio has like a hard-on for getting rid of anything with Stephanie Brown in it.
Romeo Sionis is Craig Frank. Or is being played by Craig Frank. Okay. Brian Kimmett is playing Oswald Cobblepot. Now... That was a totally different look for Cobblepot than I expected.
He's thin.
He's thin, but the hands are still.
He looks like who's it, Andy Samberg from SNL? He's on.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But the hand prosthetic looked pretty. I mean, the hands were deformed.
Oh no, it's well done. It's like I
yeah,
said.
It's amazing.
It's one of the best fan things I've seen. They have everyone's probably seen the Grayson one.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was done well. This one blows that one out of the water.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This one, I mean, they've got people, I mean, it's almost true Hollywood types. The Red Hood alone. The mask for that is incredible.
It's really cool.
If you pledge 5,000, you actually get a replica mask. You'll receive a limited edition theatrical quality Red Hood mask created by Dan Crawley, the man behind Bane's mask in Dark Knight Rises.
Wow.
Wow.
We're going to have to keep an eye on this to see if it makes it through to funding.
28 days left.
That means it just started.
Goal is 30,000, and they're at 11,451.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt that they're going to meet their goal. It's just, you know, is DC going to catch wind of this and shut it down is going to be what we have to watch. I have a thing. I don't want to derail here where we're in the middle of this. DC's also f***ing up other things. Did you hear they're not going to ship their actual allotment of the 3D covers again next week.
Why this time?
I don't know. They have another shortage. Batman 23.4, Batman Superman 3.1, and Superman 23.4 are all going to be undershipped.
What stories are those?
Bane, Doomsday, and Parasite.
Yeah.
Can I say that, you know, I wrote the article for Forever Evil, and I still can't wait for Forever Evil number 2, but the actual 23 point whatevers with the just starting the villains for the most part. I thought most of them sucked.
Yeah, you'll notice I haven't put a DC book on the pool list since Forever Evil #1.
Batman
23-1 was weak. Joker? Yeah, I thought it was a little weak.
Yeah. It was stupid.
I don't think it's a good concept.
But this whole month isn't a good concept.
Yeah, I mean, the Forever Evil thing is cool. It's, you know, the Justice League, the JLA, and what are they calling it? The Crime Society or whatever.
Crime Syndicate?
Yeah, yeah. That, you know, that Trinity War into Forever Evil thing. That's a cool idea. The idea, hey, let's cancel all our books for an entire month and do one-shots about villains. I don't think there's that many writers around today who can do a one-shot book for starters.
See, if they're going to do that, they should have done it for next month with Halloween and just go dark with it. And instead of being a one-shot on each character, Batman, you have the whole crime group, you know, the whole supervillain, metahuman group, whatever.
Yeah.
Appear, yeah, I mean, and that's the focus of the issue.
But I try to do something big every September. Because, you know, that's when they relaunched the 52, and, you know, it's kind of like the unofficial beginning of the DC year now. So they're trying to make each September special. So, look, it's a great, it's a great concept. You know, it's weird when you start running into these, you know, you're going to end up with, like, 4 or 5 different Batman books this month then. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Oh, yeah.
So, it would have been cooler if you had, you know, either a double-paged or a 80-page giant like they used to do or something big and a one-shot's not going to cut it for what you want. You know what I mean? Incorporate Forever Evil into it if this is what you're going to do and show the Joker, you know, running loose on Gotham without Batman to worry about. You know, you've got the perfect opportunity where you've taken Batman out of the picture and you've got the Joker, some lame, like basically yesteryear's tale of the Joker.
Right. Because it wasn't even the modern, you know, the current Joker, you know, Hannibal Lecter-ish Joker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is throwing it totally out.
The thing to me that bothers is, modern comics are not really formatted for one-shot 22-page issues. Writers don't really write like that. You know, if you look at Brian Bendis, it takes him 6 issues to tell a story that Stan Lee or Jim Steranko would have told in 22 pages, which is not a complaint. It's a different style. You know,
right, and that's why I said you make them like an 80, those 80-page giants where it's actually like 4 books in one.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's, yeah. Go ahead.
And you just incorporate more to it. You can tell a better story. I didn't spend a dollar this week.
Yeah. Does Parasite need his own book? I mean, even if it's just one issue.
No.
Yeah.
All they're trying to do is just do 52 different villains for the month.
Well, I'm looking forward to next September when they have Rob Liefeld month. Every book written and drawn by Rob Liefeld.
Oh, jeez. You're still in this Rob Liefeld kick, dude.
He's just, that's like the only way I can see it getting worse for DC.
Ugh.
Or maybe they're just going to have, like, women stuffed into refrigerators being raped month.
Don't run away from your feelings!
That's just, every book will feature a woman being raped inside a refrigerator. That's the direction that DC is going.
Draw Oswald Cobblepot naked and dying.
Yeah.
Listen, can I go back to something that I love and then I'm gonna go?
Sure.
Sure.
Back on something fun and positive. We were just talking about that web series. There's a web series out there on YouTube. It's called Superhero Beatdown. Have you seen it?
Yes.
I haven't.
And they're Eric, saying if they, part of this Kickstarter, if they could get a certain amount, they're going to have that group do a Superman beatdown with the potential of Red Hood being involved.
It's called Superhero Beatdown, Eric. And what they do is it's run, from what it looks like to me, is it's run by like a mixed martial arts school.
Okay.
And they put up a fan vote, on their site, and it's two completely random superheroes. Like they have one, it's like Nightwing versus Gambit. And they have the fans vote on who would win the fight. And then they have incredible costumes. It's filmed extremely well. And whoever the fans vote is the one who wins the fight.
Neat.
You know, and based on how much of a margin is how close of a fight it is. The first one I saw was Batman versus Wolverine, which was like, it was like 53 to 47 or something like that. So it was a really close fight. And it's amazing. I'll spoil it. It's done in a sewer. They have a really cool, costume for Wolverine. It's all black. But he's got like the big, it's basically the Wolverine costume that you know and love, but it's all black. It's all black and it looks like it kind of would fit in the Nolan universe.
Okay.
And they have this kick-ass fight in the sewer. And it goes on for a while. And then Batman actually beats him. Wolverine stabs him up a couple good times with the claws. And Batman ends up getting his back up against an electricity box. And when Wolverine swings at him, Batman ducks and Wolverine electrocutes himself.
Yeah, I guess that's about the only way I could see Batman beating Wolverine.
But wait, I'm not done yet. That's when I thought it was over. So Batman he's kind of bloodied up and he's cleaned up against the wall and he's calling Alfred to come get him. And all of a sudden you hear the claws, kshing, and it goes right into him through the armor. And Wolverine just looks at him and goes, "I heal quick, bub." And he kills Batman, and then they reveal at the end that because it was close. It was like 53 to 47 or something like that.
Wow.
So they made it a close battle. But there's other ones on here. There's I'm getting the list.
Could you imagine if this got picked up by like Sky Spike or Sci-Fi and becomes like the new version of Deadliest Warrior?
Batman versus Wolverine.
There'd be so many licensing issues.
There's Superman versus Thor, Batman versus Deadpool, Wolverine versus Predator. Seriously, they have some awesome stuff. So that's my my contribution to the show.
All right, I will check that out after the show.
Awesome. Yes. And with that, I'm going to bed.
All right, thank you for joining us, Mark Abramson from CRH.
@CRHMARC. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Night, Mark.
So.
All right, so it's just you and me, Mike. It's just us, Justice Ducks.
But back to the old days.
I know. I want to say it's like when the podcast first started, but you did like 20 some episodes with Ken.
True.
But yeah. In my mind, the podcast started when I came on.
Could be too.
Because, you know, that's how I judge things is based on my involvement.
But I think it's funny. The second highest rated show we had was the one I did by myself.
I know. People love you, Mike.
I think it was pity.
People can't get enough of Mike in their lives.
It was pity.
In my mind, the highest rated shows all feature me.
I think
I'm awesome. I think people are gonna think that I'm actually this narcissistic, and I am narcissistic, but not to this degree. I want you to know I'm playing like a heightened version of myself on this podcast at times.
Yes.
It's like when you watch Inside Amy Schumer, she's really not that big a whore, but it's funnier if she is.
But she slept with one in the Holiday Inn the other night.
Wait, what?
Huh? What? I was saying she's not that big of a whore, but yet, yeah, you know, the old Holiday Inn. Are you a doctor? No, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't remember. I vaguely remember those. Yeah, your references
can be dated sometimes.
Yeah.
That are obscure. So,
yeah, and not in a good way. It's not like the cavity creeps joke on Family Guy. you come up with some weird dude. But I love you. You're my friend. I like doing the show with you.
Well,
don't get the wrong idea.
I'm glad you love me, but you know, Disney, I think they're kind of starting to see the ways with Bruckheimer.
Oh, yes. Why don't you tell us about this story?
Pirates of the Caribbean 5 has been delayed until 2016. If I remember right now, it was supposed to come out next summer.
It was supposed to come out in 2014.
It was supposed to come out in 2015.
Okay, I can see why they would delay that.
But
2015 is going to be crowded, dude.
Well, of course, Bruckheimer was involved in Pirates of the Desert, also known as The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, that was
That was a major flop.
That did not do well for Disney.
No. Well, it's just about everyone who I know who has seen The Lone Ranger has said it is every pirate's gag done in the Old West. That
yeah,
Johnny Depp pretty much said, oh yeah, just follow me. I did this on this film, and this is how you pull it off. It's just this
I don't think pirates
surroundings
works as a Western, because, you know, I'm a fan of Westerns.
Right.
And Westerns are not like Pirates of the Caribbean. You can't, you can do funny Westerns, and there have been, you know, Call Me Trinity was a good movie, and Once Upon a Time in the West. You have to do it a certain way.
Right.
And the most straightforward way to do a Western is to not be funny, is to be super violent.
Well, they were saying, too, everyone was saying, well, let's compare Lone Ranger, or let's compare Tonto to Jack Sparrow. They both have a hat that they wear that they mess with off and on throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
They both have a trinket that doesn't work, that they rely on as their gimmick.
Let's compare Tonto to Django from Django Unchained.
You can't.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you look at every, let's compare Tonto to Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka. They both have a trinket that doesn't work. They both are wearing a hat that they're constantly
Are you saying that Johnny
with.
Depp is a one-trick pony?
Ever since Pirates, yeah, he's become a one-trick pony.
Are they gonna find a hat for Doctor Strange if he plays him?
Probably.
Here's the thing. I just
heard of someone else being offered Doctor Strange.
Who?
I don't remember now. I want to say possibly Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He seems a little young to be Doctor Strange. I mean, they could go that way. But, I mean, in the comics, traditionally, Doctor Strange
is older.
You know,
he's
got the gray temples.
White
but
makeup,
I mean, you
takes
know, they
care
do,
of that.
Yeah, well, they moved away from that in Fantastic Four, too.
Or someone else, I heard.
I don't know. It's a ways away. That movie's not going to be... I don't even think they officially announced it yet.
Stanley keeps teasing it.
Yeah, so they're probably going to do it because Stan won't shut up about it. But I think the only official Phase 3 movie is Ant-Man in 2015.
Right.
Now, they know. I think they have the plan, the roadmap laid out through Phase 5.
Yeah.
Like, I think they said that they know what movies they're going to do through 2023.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Doctor Strange is on that list somewhere. It would actually surprise me if he's not. But I want to get back to The Lone Ranger. Here's the thing about Westerns. There's an arc, and if you watch spaghetti Westerns and Westerns in general, they started out, you know, the sort of very clean-cut white hat heroes.
Right.
You know. And then it sort of moved into the really violent Clint Eastwood, you know, the Man with No Name trilogy, which is just fucking amazing. If you haven't seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you have wasted your life. You have wasted your life up to this point if you haven't seen that movie. It's one of the best movies ever made. But, you know, Westerns, they went from being, you know, straight up like the Lone Ranger to being really violent, serious anti-hero movies. And then at the tail end of the popularity of Westerns comes the comedy Westerns, like right. Trinity.
Right.
And that's the arc you have to follow. You can't put a Lone Ranger movie like the one that they made out right after Django Unchained.
Right.
You just can't do it.
Well, they're saying this move comes in after the failure of The Lone Ranger at the box office. Disney has said that the $250 million-plus production from the team behind Pirates could lead to a $190 million write-down for the studio.
That's insane.
They've
still got Avengers money, so they're not hurting. It is Disney. They're going to put out the Marvel movies. They're going to put out the Star Wars movies. They're not going to go broke because of this.
Well,
but they don't want to put them out there to keep losing money either.
Yeah, but when compared to John Carter, this is a worse flop than John Carter.
That was a failure on almost every level too.
Yeah. Asked whether the potential price tag of the next Pirates film played a role in the delay, Bruckheimer replies, "It's all a factor. We want a script that everyone signed off on and a budget that everyone signed off on. Such projects have cost as much as $3 million in the past. Coming up with a great script is always hard," Bruckheimer says, "and after this summer, everybody's more cautious. The summer saw several costly movies underperform."
It was a hard
summer.
Pacific Rim barely made back its money.
Yeah.
But it was so successful in China that they're talking about Pacific Rim 2 anyway. Because,
right.
You know, it did make back its money. And, you know, home video, it's going to end up being a profitable movie, unlike The Lone Ranger, which might never make back its budget.
Yeah. Well, I've even heard Battleship might even get a sequel just because of the overseas
Battleship, really?
Yeah.
That was so ridiculous. I was like, okay, you're going to make a sci-fi movie. You're going to slap the name on it because we can't have anything original. God forbid. And unfortunately, I think Pacific Rim is going to reinforce that. You're not going to see original movies for a long time as franchises.
Right.
You're going to see sequels and established properties. And Battleship was... I was like, okay, I get it. You're going to make a movie. You're going to put the Battleship name on it because you need to have a name to sell this. Then they have those peg missiles that came down.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm not going to watch that. That is ridiculous. What are you doing? At no point did someone say, you can't do that. Stupid. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen on film. I heard they're trying to make a Hungry Hungry Hippos movie too. And like not as a joke.
Oh jeez. No.
Like it would be a kid's movie, like a kid's cartoon, a G-rated Hungry Hungry Hippos.
It would have to be. Now, are you going to be glued to the TV at 8 o'clock next Tuesday?
I am. I think Dad's is on, right?
No. Well, it might be, but it's going to...
I know New Girl's on at 9.
Well, I would hope you're going to be watching ABC. That way we got something to talk about at our roundtable next week.
Mike, is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming on already? Is that what you're telling me?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Less than 1 week away from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
We
the
are.
The most anticipated show of the season?
The most anticipated show in the season. The show that I'm going to project by the end of October will have over 100 companion shows on iTunes.
Yeah.
It's going to be that anticipated.
I'm gonna
put it out there right now. Are we gonna be doing a companion show here on Weeby Geeks?
No.
We
are going to do something special.
We're gonna do it, guaranteed two roundtables, if not a third. Of course we're gonna do the roundtable for the premiere.
Yeah.
Which will be next week's
finale.
And for the season finale.
We're thinking about doing another one somewhere
in the mid-season, at the mid-season holiday break. So, We're looking at those three. Marvel's put up the official synopsis for episode one.
Mm.
And of course, I've already put up the sneak peek at episode two. They don't give it a name. So to get into the synopsis, these agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have a mission to investigate the new, the strange, the unknown around the globe, protecting the ordinary from the extraordinary. So don't be surprised, Eric, if they come knocking on our doors.
you think Clark Gregg's going to come and round us up?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. We're not extraordinary. We're the ones that are imitated, not duplicated.
I think I'm extraordinary. I don't know about you.
True.
You're not supposed to agree with me when I say something mean about you, Mike. It just makes me feel like a
Maybe it's part of the mutiny.
You love that sound clip so much.
But
go ahead
and
play it.
I'm not playing it.
You're not going to play it.
I'm not going to play it just because you want it. But just remember.
You're so mean to me, Mike.
But just remember, who's this show really about?
Mike.
Yep. So, in the premiere episode, which is being titled Pilot, it's just after the Battle of New York, and the existence of superheroes and aliens has become public knowledge. The world is trying to come to grips with the new reality, and Agent Phil Coulson is back in action. What? He's not dead?
I have, like, the hugest boner for Phil Coulson being back. Mike doesn't know what to say. I have successfully derailed.
He's back in action and has his eye on Eric. I mean, in a mysterious group called Rising Tide. That could be Eric.
I might be in. Rising Tide seems to be connected to Hydra in some way.
I think so. In order to track this unseen, unknown enemy, he has assembled a small, highly select group of agents from the worldwide law enforcement organization known as Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division, a.k.a. S.H.I.E.L.D. The group's first...
changing what that stands for. When Steranko was doing it, that had espionage in there somewhere.
Well, they're trying to make it fit more modern time, I guess.
Yeah.
After 9/11 and everything else. And Homeland Security. The group's first assignment together as a team finds them trying to track down an ordinary man who gained extraordinary powers. Powers that could have devastating consequences.
That's going to be Gunn.
You think?
Yeah. I think that's who it is. It's going to be Tim Gunn from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And he has got superhuman cooking abilities. It's going to be J. August Richardson.
So maybe that's who... Maybe that's who Rising Tide is. It's the guys from Queer Eye.
It could be. I found what S.H.I.E.L.D. used to stand for. It was Supreme Headquarters International Espionage Law Enforcement Division. Then it was Strategic Hazard Intervention Espionage Logistics Directorate.
Jeez.
Now it's Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Yeah. So yeah, the cast for S.H.I.E.L.D. includes Clark Gregg as Agent Coulson, Ming-Na Wen as Agent Melinda May, Brett Dalton as Agent Grant Ward, Chloe Bennett as Sky, Ian DeCastecker as Agent Leo Fitz, and Elizabeth Henstridge as Agent Gemma Simmons. Guest starring will be J. August Richards as Michael Shannon, as Mike.
Okay.
Shannon Lucio as Debbie. Ron Glass as Dr. Streeton. Bob Stevenson as Gary. And special guest star Kobe Smulders as Agent Mara Hill.
Maria
Hill. Sorry, I almost went
Do you think after How I Met Your Mother wraps that Kobe Smulders will be on every week next season?
Quite possibly.
Like, that's what I'm hoping, but at the same time, I can't see Kobe Smulders not having, like, four offers for her own sitcom.
True.
Now, and they're talking about a spinoff of How I Met Your Mother.
Well, now, she plays... Wait, no, Hill wasn't in the Avengers.
Yeah, she was. She's in the Avengers, and she's in Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
That's right. I don't know. I mean,
I would love to see her on that.
Could she be the one that's constantly, you know, besides Coulson, that's a regular from the other cinematic universe coming to TV?
Yeah, well, apparently Coulson isn't going to be in the Phase 2 movies.
Right.
So Maria Hill's going to sort of be the link between the television show and the movies.
Now, there's still the possibility of Robert Downey Jr. guest starring, Jackson.
Yeah, that's who I want to see. Sam Jackson, the coolest cat in the universe.
Because they both said they would love to come on every now and then.
Sam Jackson, I'll bet Sam Jackson would do it every week if you'd pay him. Because he wanted to do Clone Wars, too.
Oh, yeah.
He did the pilot, and he was like, I'll do the cartoon every week. Because I'm Sam Jackson. I can do whatever the I want.
I don't know if Chris Evans, if he would do it every week. Or if he would come on as often.
Yeah.
It would be cool if he came on at least once.
Yeah, Evans. Yeah, Evans I could see coming on.
Now,
I got him confused with Hemsworth.
Now, Hemsworth, I doubt.
I can't see a place for Thor in this show.
No.
But Cap, I could see.
Now, bring in, what's his name, is Hulk.
Ruffalo.
Yes. Oh, I can see Ruffalo coming in. Now, say first season's 22 episodes. Yeah. I can see him coming in for 9.
Yeah. What I would like to see, what I think would be really cool is they have Ruffalo on as Banner, but not the Hulk.
Yeah.
That would be amazing to me.
Yeah.
Same with Robert Downey Jr. If Robert Downey Jr.'s on, don't show him in the armor.
Exactly. Have him coming in, working on whatever weapons or gadgets, whatever needs to be done, helping the gadget guy.
Yeah. Because I think that what they're trying to do is show, you know, non-superpowered people dealing with being in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
So you don't want to overshadow that with a parade of superheroes.
Right. Now the question is...
What's the question going
to
be?
If the show makes it to 2015, which, you know, is a strong possibility. I mean, right now it's a 50-50 shot.
6 seasons in a movie?
Could they bring in more of the Avengers to help feed the hype for the movie? I mean, would that
be? That's a long way off. We'd have to see where the story goes on the show.
Right. But is that something that they might be tossing around?
Mm.
Especially since Whedon's involved with this.
Yeah, it seems like if this gets a second season, and I don't see how it's not going to get a second season. I think this will be on as long as they want to do it.
Right. Now, I will say this.
I could potentially see this going on as long as there's a Marvel Cinematic Universe as a sort of a Law and Order deal.
Right. Now, here's the thing. You said no Thor. What about Loki? I wouldn't mind seeing Loki make an appearance on the show.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. It would definitely get, like, all the women who love the Marvel movies to watch the show.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, like every woman I know seems to have a crush on Tom Hiddleston. I even, you know, I saw The Avengers. I took my mother to see it. And, you know, I've watched the movies with her, you know, at least once. And, when I forget what movie it was that was coming out. I think it was Iron Man 3 when that was coming out. She has like his Loki in it. I'm like, okay.
Now, here's something interesting about S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be broadcast in 720p.
So not 1080.
Not 1080. ABC's selected HDTV format with a 5.1 channel surround.
I wonder if that's because they're going to sell it 1080p on iTunes and Blu-ray.
I don't know.
I mean, it could be like a sort of like an anti-piracy thing, maybe.
Could be.
But just a very subtle one, like, okay, yeah, you can, you know, pirate Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're fully expecting this to probably be the most pirated show in history.
Could be.
And they're saying, yeah, you can pirate it, but not at 1080p. But that's not going to stop them, because if they sell it on iTunes, then it's going to be, you know, people are going to pirate it from iTunes.
Right. And I'll tell you, I'm going to watch the show. Chances are, I'll buy the season. But in between then, I have something to watch until the DVD comes out. Yeah. Because I'm not going to pay 40, 50 bucks on iTunes and pay another 40, 50 bucks for the Blu-ray or the DVD.
Yeah, I can see that being something a lot of people are going to do. Especially after, I think the Star Trek Into Darkness thing is going to push piracy on people.
Oh, God. That was the biggest mistake. And we've already talked about that.
Yeah, I think you
want all the specials? Go to Target, go to Best Buy, buy a copy of each, you're done. And so is Sony. So.
Yeah, but, I wonder why they're not broadcasting it in 1080i.
Don't know.
I mean, is it just, I don't watch a lot of ABC. Do they just broadcast in 720p?
They
normally?
Might. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. So. Going back towards Disney a little bit.
What's on our show notes?
Our friends from Latino... I say friends.
These guys that we don't respect as journalists from Latino Review.
Posted up an article on Star Wars story, so to speak.
It was wrong already, isn't it?
Probably. The article's from Friday the 13th.
Okay.
That right there.
Means nothing.
Reading this article, I expect Jason Voorhees to be standing behind me ready to put a...
Yes. But it's like 5 days ago when we're recording this, and it's already wrong.
Oh, yeah. During the investor conference yesterday, Disney's chief financial officer, Jay Rasolo, addressed the future of Star Wars with Disney. According to Variety, Rasolo confirmed that one Star Wars trilogy film or one origin story film would appear on the release schedule starting with 2015's seventh installment from J.J. Abrams. Okay. One, old news. It's already been confirmed by Iger. It's already been confirmed by Kathleen Kennedy. It's...
Who else do we need to confirm that?
Okay.
Yeah.
I am a Disney
Kennedy
cast...
Kennedy is enough.
I'm a Disney cast member. I work for Disney. You're going to hear it right now on Weeby Geeks. I confirm, starting in 2015, there will be a Star Wars movie every year.
I know, right? This is shocking.
Okay, so let's just add that. Now we can add me to the list.
Yeah. Here's my question for you, since we're talking about Star Wars. Why is Lucasfilm's dick so hard for origin films?
I don't think it's Lucas. I think it's Disney.
Anyone. I mean, you know, Lucas, you know, he did the prequel trilogy.
Right.
And have you ever heard Patton Oswalt's bit about that?
Yes. But okay. Let's talk about the prequel trilogy.
Okay.
To me, Revenge of the Sith, too much love story, but it's still a good film.
See, Revenge of the Sith was my favorite out of all three of the prequels.
I liked...
Because, I mean, to me, I didn't see too much love story. I saw a samurai movie.
Yeah, but, everything with Anakin and Padme, the apartment scenes, you get rid of
those. It's pathos.
Yeah.
It does slow down the movie at points, but it's pathos.
But Lucas always said this is... Star Wars is supposed to be a tribute to the Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers movie serials.
Yeah, well, as clearly samurai movies.
Right. So being in that movie serial format now, I know there's people asking themselves, you know, we got our listeners are asking themselves, what are movie serials? Best way to describe it, go to Amazon through the Weeby Geeks homepage and look up Batman, any of the Batman, either, was it 42 and 49 movies? Those are movie serials. Each week, there would be a half-hour show before your feature film.
They weren't always necessarily half an hour either.
Okay, 15 minutes to 30 minutes.
Yeah, and they would also play, you know, the Warner Brothers cartoons, the Looney Tunes, the Merry
right.
Melodies. That's where those came from.
Right.
You could go to the movie theater all day.
Just about.
And watch, yeah. You get the film, the newsreel, the serials, the cartoons.
Back in the day, you would pay 15 cents for a movie, for the movie, and along with the feature you're seeing, you got a movie serial, you got the newsreel, you got cartoons.
Yeah, this was back when Mike was in his 30s.
Hey.
You know, they actually did this on an episode of Mad Men. Do you watch Mad Men?
No, I don't.
I find Mad Men to be sort of boring. There were a few neat things about it. Like, the best part about Mad Men, the acting is great, the period is very well represented. It shows, you know, the costuming, the set design and everything. It makes it really feel like it's set in that time period, but nothing really happens on the show that interests me.
Right.
But there was one episode where John Hamm took his son to see Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
And at the end of the movie, the kid's like, oh, that was really good. And he's like, oh, yeah, you want to stay and watch it again? And they just sat back down in the theater and waited for it to come back on again.
Yeah. Well, I will say, growing up as a kid, back in the 80s, there was a movie theater where I lived in Jonesboro, Arkansas. If you were a kid and you brought in 6 bottle caps, this is before, you know, the old metal where you had to pop them off with a can or with a bottle opener.
Yeah.
Style.
They still have on beer.
But they had
but they had them on Coke bottles.
They had to be on pop. Well, you still get some of the glass bottles that still have it.
Yeah, you can, if you get like a Mexican Coke.
True.
They still have the glass bottles. They don't sell those here anymore. And I'm really afraid to go into Dollar General and be like, hey, do you have Mexican Coke? I think they're going to call the cops.
Oh, no, they have the glass bottles down here.
Well, I don't live down there, Mike. That doesn't mean no good.
Check the convenience store.
I've checked everywhere. Every store I go into, I look for the Mexican Coke because it tastes better to me.
Right. Well, it's because
they used to have it at Dollar General, and they don't anymore. And at the grocery store, they have, I don't think they have Fanta. They have Pepsi. They have the Pepsi in the glass bottles. Well, I don't like Pepsi because it's too sweet.
Well, I will tell you, around Easter, Passover time, the Coke bottles or Pepsi bottles with the yellow lids means it's made with pure, with cane sugar, not the other crap.
And that's because of
religious aspects.
Well, the Mexican Coke is made with cane sugar, too.
Right.
So, that's why if you pick up a bottle of Coke and it's a glass bottle and everything's in Spanish, it's made with real sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup.
Well, you used to be able to go pay, you know, 6 bottle caps, a buck, boom, in the movie, and they would do a Flash Gordon movie cereal, 3 Stooges, and then your feature. And if you went all summer, you would see the entire run of Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
So, because a lot of times the old movie serials were anywhere between 12 to 15 episodes.
Yeah, and now what do they have before the movie? They have f***ing commercials for Geico.
Yes.
Oh, that pisses me off so much. I paid, you know, $11 for a movie ticket. And $2 for 3D glasses, even though, you know, I could keep the 3D glasses, but I still have to pay for them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, you can't buy the 3D glasses once and take them every time. You have to pay for them every time. So I'm paying $13 for the movie ticket. I'm paying, you know, $5 for a 2-liter bottle of Coke in a glass. That's just ridiculous. And then I go in and they're going to play like 10 commercials.
See, I want to go back. With a pair of glasses go, can I just pay $11 and you can keep your glasses? I got my own.
Yeah, they don't let you do that.
Which is crazy.
I know. Well, you know, that's the 3D surcharge.
Yes. Yes.
It's keeping the movie industry afloat, I think. I wonder how much movies would make if they didn't have that surcharge.
Don't know. So anyhow, so yeah, I mean, Star Wars was meant to be movie serials. So when it ended with 6, everyone's going, okay. Now that they said, you know, they're doing the next trilogy, and that, you know, Lucas has said, you know, I still want, you know, now I get to see someone else finish my vision, which has changed the story around several times over there.
Keep a consistent story.
After episode 9, could we possibly see 3 more to go a full movie serial lifespan of 12 episodes at the minimum?
I think you're going to see more than 3 more after episode 9. I think you're going to see indefinite more.
Could be.
I think they're going to keep making Star Wars movies forever.
It could be. Now, according to the article, they say, what this means is your favorite Star Wars characters will have backstory films, but who will have their own standalone film first? Current rumors speculate that it may be Han Solo or Yoda. Like any Star Wars rumors, nothing has been officially confirmed. Now, if you remember the interview I had with Jimmy Mack from Rebel Force Radio, our friends over at, you know, he's one of the co-hosts over at Rebel Force Radio and a friend of the show. We talk about Yoda. Do we really want to know an origin story? Me?
I don't.
Personally, no.
I'm going to watch it because it says Star Wars on it, and I'm a huge fanboy. I would watch anything. I would watch Luke Skywalker take a dump for 2 hours. I'm sure I would. I would pay my $13 and say, hey, that's Mark Hamill taking in 3D. That's awesome.
Now,
that's great. He's got a lightsaber.
Would I be interested in seeing Yoda go through the Padawan trials and becoming a Jedi Knight? Yes. Would I like to see Yoda's adventures in becoming, you know, that eventually leads him to being granted the privilege of sitting on the council? Yes. I mean, we're talking there's over 900 years to cover with Yoda.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the whole origin thing in general, because the problem I had with the prequel is that it really creates a lack of drama.
Right.
You know, at the end of episode 3, when Obi-Wan is fighting General Grievous, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi was in Star Wars and General Grievous was not.
Right.
You know, there was no doubt how that movie was going to turn out. There was no dramatic tension. That's one thing that they did really well with the Clone Wars TV series is they introduced characters who weren't in the movies at all.
Exactly. Like Asajj Ventress, Ahsoka.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where Ahsoka Tano ends up. I still don't know where Ahsoka Tano ends up, and it really pisses me off.
Well,
because they canceled it.
Well, when they did that one story arc that said it's going to take place, the live action TV series that was going to take place between episode 6 and episode 7, and you have the Shadow. You know, everyone assumed, oh, it's Luke Skywalker.
Oh, that wasn't for Underworld. That was for the other animated series that was possibly made up.
Reclamation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it could have been animated. It could have been live action as well.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be an animated series, Reclamation. That was what that pitch was for.
To me, the Shadow was Tano.
I don't think so. I think you're overthinking it. I mean, I really don't think they're going to be that clever. You know, it's Star Wars. They don't play 11-dimensional chess in Star Wars.
Right. But they never, all they specified was someone who had hatred for the Empire and someone who had hatred for the Rebellion.
Yeah, so I think it was clearly meant to be Luke Skywalker.
See,
Star Wars doesn't do twists. There's not one twist in any of those 6 movies. Well, I take that back because I'm immediately going to get smacked down. Vader and Leia were the twists, right?
Right.
But Vader was a big reveal, and the Princess Leia and Luke being brother and sister just kind of seemed tacked on.
Right.
That was probably the biggest mistake he made, because it made the first 2 movies way too incesty.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's because, you know, the first movie had that sort of love triangle, and Empire sort of continued it between Han and Luke and Leia, and then they're like, oh, and Leia's your sister. Oh, wonderful.
Right.
There goes my erection.
Now, when they talk about a Han Solo film, like I said in the past, would I love to see Han Solo going through the Imperial Academy? Yes. Would I love to see the story, you know, actually see the story of him doing the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs come to life?
Yeah, I want to see how they explain that one away.
Do I want to see how he gets the Falcon from Lando? Yes.
Yes, I want to see that.
Do I want to see that there might have been, as Jeremy Bullock points out, that there might have been a friendship between him and Boba Fett? Yes.
Oh, there's so many theories about Solo and Boba Fett and...
Oh,
did you hear the one that Boba Fett killed Owen in Beirut?
Yes. And the facts and points brought out make it somewhat believable that it
could
all
fan happen. Theories are somewhat believable unless they get to the really off the wall ones.
Well, no, I mean this seems logical.
It does,
you know, especially
think...
since they say, you know, Fett was in the, well, it was at on Tatooine.
Yeah, I just don't think George Lucas put that much thought into it.
Probably not.
I mean, that's where fan theories fall apart, is that many of them give the creators way too much credit than they deserve.
But could Lucas have thought about it when he was doing Empire, because why else would he have Vader look at Fett and go, no disintegrations this time?
He didn't say this time, he just says no disintegrations. And it's just to make Boba Fett look like a badass. I think that's the extent of the thought that gets put into it. He brought in these bounty hunter characters. Boba Fett has the cool looking armor. He wants to make, he's the one who gets Solo in the end. He wants to make him look like a badass. So he says no disintegrations. Like, Boba Fett has a reputation for disintegrating people.
True. But, with these theories that he was hired before. And he disintegrated Owen and Beru.
Yeah.
There's validity. I mean, these aren't off-the-wall theories, so there is a lot of validity behind it.
Yeah.
Which can be believable.
It doesn't contradict anything, but like I said, I don't think they put that much thought into it. And that's the interesting thing about fan theories, though, is that you see how much thought fans put into these shows.
Right.
Marvel used to give out the no prize when people would come up with interesting fan theories to explain away continuity discrepancies.
Right. Now,
did you ever get a no prize?
I did not.
You're not a comic book letter writer?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I don't even think they still gave them away when I was like reading comics.
Now, my next question is going to be, if you pull original trilogy characters, how much backstory are we going to get potentially from Star Wars Rebels?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think Star Wars Rebels, it sounds like it's shaping up to be a much more linear story than Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clone Wars shifted leads, it shifted time periods, which is what made it such a great show. Every story arc of Clone Wars is like a complete mini movie, essentially.
Right. Well, it's like what they call the Rookies trilogy, season 2 or season 3?
Is that the one with the clone troopers from?
Yeah. Yeah. You see them when they
squad was it? Yeah. One confused me. Because it was they had introduced them.
Right. So what they did, well, it was after they hit, it takes place before the actual introduction and then takes place after the introduction.
Yeah.
With those two episodes.
Yeah,
so
I think one of them had already been killed off on the show in like an earlier episode.
Right. When they're on it's when you see the assassin droids for the first time. And they're on the one planet.
The commando droids?
Yeah, the commando droids, the assassin droids. When you see them on the one planet, you lose like one or two of the characters, two of the squad there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they talk about it's the shiny, it's the rookies, it's the shinies. And once the episode's called Rookies.
Yeah.
Then you have, then the following season or two seasons later.
It was season 2. That was, I think, the premiere of season 2 is the one you're talking about now. And the Rookies one was at the end of season 1.
Could be. Actually.
Because I hadn't figured out that it wasn't in chronological order yet at that point.
Actually, I want to say Rookies was season 2. With the others being the start of season 3.
To Google
we go.
I'm already on Wikipedia because I looked up the meaning of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But you have, you see the group going through, their basic training. And then you see the two surviving members becoming ARC troopers. Because of what they did at Geonosis. Or not Geonosis, at Kamino.
Yeah, you are right. It was the beginning of season 3, Clone Cadets and ARC Troopers.
Correct. Now, Rookies was what? Was that?
And
that's the one I'm not sure about. I wanted to say it was season 2.
That was the beginning of season 3. The other one, I don't know because
it's called Rookies. Is the name of it.
That is episode 5 of season 1.
Okay. So they go almost a season and a half before they go back and tell that story.
Yeah, but they're on it again. I think they're on Ryloth, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, you see the characters off and on, but
yeah,
the sequence, you know, if you're gonna do a sequence timeline, you go cadets to rookies to ARC Troopers.
Yeah,
that's the movement.
Yeah, but yeah, that's not the episode. That's not the order that they aired in at all.
No. No.
That started to confuse me, because there's another one where one of the senators is poisoned.
Yeah.
And then he's like in the next episode. I'm like, what the sh** is going on here?
Yeah. I know when it was being replayed in syndication, it was supposed to be played in order, in timeline order.
Okay. In timeline order.
Supposedly, it was supposed to be done in time.
So I know the production order is all over the map.
Right.
But like Clone Cadets one is production code 3.
Right. Until mid-season 3, and I think for everything mid-season 3 through the end is actually in order. If I remember right.
Most of that, the production codes around season 3 start to go in order for the most part.
Right.
And, well, production codes on TV shows aren't always a good way to tell, you know, the chronological order that they're told in either, because sometimes they intentionally produce out of sequence.
Right. So, now, Disney may be a little aggressive with this release schedule, but I'm sure after the fiasco with the Lone Ranger, here we go, back to the Lone Ranger, they might be cautious on what they spend on these films.
Not on Star Wars.
We're talking Disney. Disney knee jerks so hard when it comes to money.
Yeah, but Star Wars is going to make $1 billion no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I would watch Luke Skywalker take a for 2 hours if they called it Star Wars Episode 7. So, yeah. I mean, there's no way it's not going to make $1 billion.
Right. Well, everyone comes down so hard on Phantom Menace. And yet, people are like, oh, if that ever comes out again, I'll never go back to the theater and see it.
But yeah, you will.
3D. Boom.
Yeah, you'll go see it.
Cash cow.
I didn't go see Phantom Menace again in the theater, because I saw it in the theater the first time.
I did not either. I was kind of...
I waited in line for like 12 hours to see Phantom Menace. I went after school to the movie theater for the midnight showing. So it was like 10 hours.
We didn't go to the midnight showing, but we did go a couple days later after I got off work. Because that was...
Phantom Menace is one of those movies...
I had just finished my first year. Let's see. Wait. Phantom Menace was
99. I was a senior in high school.
Yeah, I just finished. I was like 3 months past my first year at Disney.
Phantom Menace is one of those movies where, like, I went and saw it in theaters. I was like, yeah, that was awesome. And then, like, 5 days later, I was like, it wasn't so awesome, was it? It's like, at first, it seems really cool, because there's some big moments that are... And the last 20 minutes or so, that movie is great.
Right. Now, for the rest of this Star Wars news on this conference call, Rossolo reiterated that the licensing toy brand for the kids and the expanding Star Wars brand at the companies. He reiterated the licensing toy brand that basically, you know, the licensing end of things is still going to continue to grow. And that the brand is going to be expanding at the theme parks. Again, really nothing new.
Wait, they're going to make Star Wars toys? Holy sh**.
Hey.
Really? Star Wars toys? I am.
I'll tell you what I would like to see. And it's something that used to be done way back in the day and they stopped.
What?
I'm sorry. Wonder Bread? Start putting cards inside your bread loaves again.
Oh my God, Wonder Bread cards. I think that was even before my time.
Are you kidding? Well, it was definitely during my time, because I'll tell you, I used to go to the store with my parents, especially when the cards were being put in. And my parents would go grab a loaf, and I'm like, no, hold on. And I literally found the card, moved it around to the point where I could get it to a view window to see if I had that card or not.
Oh my God. There like was you're gaming one, the system.
There was one card I was missing for whatever reason. I must have made my parents go through every loaf of bread on the shelf looking for that card before I allowed them to put it in the basket.
That is hilarious. They don't do stuff like that anymore. You know what else? I don't see toys and cereal anymore.
Every now and then. Do I have an Indiana Jones glow in the dark spoon?
I have a lightsaber spoon somewhere, but I don't know where I got them. Maybe I didn't get them in cereal.
Maybe it is. No, I got one in cereal. But one of my favorite cereal things, though, is we actually did the 6 boxes of Chex Mix so I could get the UPC codes to send off for the R2-D2 Chex Mix bowl, party bowl.
When was this?
I don't remember when.
Back in your youth?
No, this during the...
Recently?
During the prequels.
Oh, okay.
Because if you put the lid, whenever you flip the bowl, either upside down to make it look like the dome or right side up to party bowl.
Yeah.
The base it sits on would do an R2 sound effect.
That's amazing.
So, and it's like, oh, I gotta have this. And at first I thought it was a cereal bowl.
That seems like the sort of thing that my girlfriend would not let me have. It's like, we're not eating out of Star Wars bowls.
Oh, pff, are you kidding me? If I could, I would. If I could, I would.
I get the, you're an adult. You do not eat out of bowls with cartoon characters on them.
You know, I'm staring right now at a canister that came from Burger King. And it's a Jango Fett watch that I've never opened the canister. It's just sitting there.
See, I don't have the collectibles, and that's not because of my girlfriend. We don't live together.
I have like three or four. Maybe I have the whole collection. I don't know. It's the Phantom Menace capsules with tiny tarts in them, unopened. Unopened.
I've got a little G.I. Joe glued to my computer monitor. I don't know if you ever saw them. They're like the super deformed G.I. Joes. They look like the little anime characters with the big heads and feet and stuff.
Oh.
And they made G.I. Joes like that. I saw it at Dollar General one day. I was like, I have to have it. So I bought it. It's Snake Eyes. And it's glued to my computer monitor. I super glued it.
You're going to see here in a second. On top of my computer monitor.
Mike, you don't have your camera on.
Yes.
This is audio only.
It's coming on right now.
You know, we're still doing a show here.
I know, but you're, that's what's on top of my monitor.
I'm not seeing it because we're in a three-way call still.
No, we're not.
I am.
Shouldn't be.
Mark's still added on mine. Mark, buddy, we love you. We've kept your name on Skype this whole time.
Okay, then how do I do shared screen?
Don't worry about it. Well, this is the sort of thing we should do when we're not recording this. People are going to be really fucking bored. They're going to be, seriously?
Well,
we're going to screw around with something. We can't even see. This is not a video podcast. You're going to have to tweet a picture of this. You're going to have to take a picture and tweet it.
Yes, I will have to tweet it.
Because people are going to be pissed if you don't. And by people, I mean the four people that listen to this podcast.
Oh, we're up to four now.
We are. Because not only is my girlfriend listening, but one of my ex-girlfriends and some of my friends.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's just all people who know me. That's who we're doing the show for. Which means you did a really good job building an audience before I came on board.
Oh, man. But the numbers on our page and Skype say different. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's true. We do have more than four listeners.
So we thank all five of you.
Yes.
So anyhow, we've talked about the Star Wars presence in the parks. We've already talked about the origin film, the standalone films. It's going to be some sort of backstory for everyone.
Yeah,
rather see it backstory than see it origin story.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that might be awkward wording on their part, the origin thing.
Yeah.
You know, what's Han Solo's origin? He didn't come to Earth from a rocket from Krypton.
True.
You know, it's not, and I always hated superhero origin movies.
But I wouldn't mind seeing, if they're going to do a standalone, I wouldn't mind seeing the Darth Plagueis book turned into a movie.
Yeah. Well, Because that does kind of
set up the Emperor.
What I kind of want to see is the new movies totally destroy the expanded universe.
They're probably going to.
I mean, that's what I want to see, because the tears from fanboys will be delicious.
Well, they kind of did that a little bit with the prequel trilogy.
A little bit, but they also had a bar on telling stories before.
Right. Well, speaking of the prequel trilogy, yeah, that was the one theory with Boba Fett being the one involved with destroying Beru, is they say all the stormtroopers clones.
Yeah. Okay,
at this point in time, if you go by the expanded universe, and we're talking 20 years after the Clone Wars essentially ended.
I think it's 16.
You've got governors making their own troopers based off themselves.
Yeah.
Not the Mandalorian bloodline.
So they don't all still look like Jango Fett by the time we get to...
Correct. By the time we get to A New Hope. Yet there is variations.
But they're still mostly clones.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're still clones, but they're not all Jangos.
Which is weird, because they don't all sound alike in the movies.
True. Which could be part of the explanation now.
Yeah. I had always assumed that once they created the Galactic Empire, they could just draft people.
Probably. Well, supposedly that was.
That's got to be cheaper than having clones made.
See, supposedly that's what was happening with the pilots. That's why they had the Imperial Academy, because Han was originally supposed to be a pilot for the Empire.
Yeah, and so was Biggs.
Exactly.
I don't know about Wedge. Was Wedge an Imperial pilot at any point?
I don't remember.
How do you not know this important piece of Star Wars trivia, Mike?
Yes, I'm a Star Wars geek, but I'm not that in depth into the backstories.
Yeah.
On a lot of the stuff.
Have you ever played Star Wars Trivial Pursuit?
No.
They have the most obscure questions. It's like, you know, how many seconds was Wedge Antilles on screen in A New Hope? Who gives a
Actually, it was 22.2971138 seconds there, Bob.
No, what's actually written on the card is who gives That's the actual answer. Because that's what people are going to say. And you're correct. You get a wedge.
This can't be.
C-3PO. I just heard, I think it was Lucas, did an interview where he said when the original Star Wars movies came out, the adult fans all hated C-3PO.
They did.
He was like the Jar Jar Binks of the 70s.
Until Return of the Jedi. And then the hatred moved towards Ewoks.
Yeah.
Then until 99 with Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
So the question is now going to be, what's going to be the hated character?
I was going to say, after Phantom Menace, it moved to Hayden Christensen.
Well, everyone still hated the one who created the Clone Wars, Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Well, Jar Jar was barely in those movies after Phantom Menace. And I think that was probably a reaction to, yeah, you know, how poorly received he was.
Yeah.
But yes. I don't even think, I don't know that kids like Jar Jar Binks or not. I mean, Lucas said they
do. They do.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a friend who has two kids. They're like 10 and 7 or something. And they've never seen Phantom Menace. They've seen all the other 5 movies. Because he's like, I'm afraid that my kid's favorite movie is going to be Phantom Menace, and I'm going to have to put them up for adoption.
But no.
But, you know, Jon Stewart actually made that joke, too, on The Daily Show. Right. When he had Lucas on, he's like, you know, my kid says, you know, his favorite movie is The Phantom Menace, and I told him, no, it isn't.
See, often imitated, never duplicated.
Yes.
So, anyhow, so we want to thank Latino Review for being up to speed on the current news of Star Wars.
Yes, you've given us a great point to diverge from.
Yes.
But don't call it news when it's some guy said a b- we already knew.
That's not news. On a conference call.
Yeah, that's not news. It's not news. It does not qualify. News, I mean, in general, refers to something happening that you know, we previously didn't know.
Yes. But what, with that article, what they gave us?
It is pointless to resist, my son.
You need to cut that off after the first four
words. Yeah. But still, it was pointless.
Yeah. And so was everything we said about it, if you really think about
it. Yeah. But you but know, I feel like with them, it's...
This deal is getting worse all the time.
And it probably is.
Lando. Poor Lando. When are they going to say that Billy Dee is going to be on in the sequel movies? God, I keep stammering tonight.
Well, when are they going to just post in general the cast? Wait.
Yeah, I want to hear Mark Hamill. I want to hear Carrie Fisher. I want to hear Harrison Ford, and I want to hear Billy Dee.
Yeah, it's gonna be a Latino Review exclusive.
It's a trap.
Yes, Admiral Ackbar should be back too.
Move along.
All right, if we must.
I need to get that Star Wars soundboard myself.
Well, these are all clips I've downloaded on my own.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got the soundboard there. If I play clips from the movies on my computer, it's just not even, no one's going to hear it but me.
True.
Which is probably true of this entire podcast.
So, anyhow.
People stop listening after Mark left, I think.
Quite possibly.
They're just like, this.
So, any last words, comments, shout outs?
Did we go through all our stories already?
Yeah.
Mike, I don't get to spend enough time with you on this podcast. We should do at least another hour, I think.
We're doomed.
I'm gonna hit the internet and we're gonna find more to talk about. We've only been doing this for like 2 hours. We're just barely over our target time. That's not acceptable.
Yeah.
This is a 90 minute podcast, which means we have to record at least 3 hours.
No. We said old days. Oh no, yeah. I'm recording this one at like 1080p. So expect that 1 terabyte podcast. We will be it.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. Have a high def video podcast. People don't want to see us in high def. They don't want to see us in standard def.
They only want to see us in black and white.
I don't know. Maybe in like CinemaScope. We've got like the 4 projectors in the entire wall.
True.
Like maybe that would make us small enough.
Maybe. Might. Yeah, maybe. So, anyhow. Any plugs? Anything? We gotta end it.
I know. It goes so fast, Mike. Where does the time go? This podcast was an infant 2 hours ago, and now we're ready to shove it out the door.
Sort of like Mark's kids, but they won't leave.
No, I don't have any shout outs or promos or anything because no one loves me.
Well, I will give ourselves a plug, provided things are working right. You should be listening to us on Source World Radio.
Yes, we will be on Source World Radio at some point.
And starting next week, we will be doing Marvel and Star Wars news for Source World Radio. I think Tiki Room, for WDW Tiki Room. With our good friend and, hopefully soon fellow staff writer for us as well, Algin Go.
Yes, Algin is an amazingly nice guy. Oh, he sells guitars, which is awesome.
Gibson guitars.
Yes.
Which is even better.
Yes. I don't have a Gibson anymore. I talked to Algin about this on Twitter.
But yeah, I would, so we got that, one to thank. Give shout outs to, Epic Podquest, to Well Watchers, to Soda Pop Talk, to just a couple of G's, down, you know, take a listen to them. It's run by, folks who inhabit and also staff Tate's Comics down in South Florida. Check them out. Follow us on Twitter at WeebieGeeks, Jessica at WickedSoCal, Mark at CRH Mark. Eric, they can find you at
NecroFamicom.
Don't forget, subscribe to Booty Ben. Get $5 off if you use the code WeebieGeeks.
Give us a rating on iTunes and Stitcher.
Stitcher, please.
Like a good rating.
Great rating would be even awesome.
Like 5 stars is good. 3 stars is okay. 1 star, I will find you.
We'll send Michael Bay on your butt.
No, I will find them, and I will do to you the things that show up in a Michael Bay movie.
So wait, are you saying if they give us a 1 star, I gotta be Silent Bob to your Jay?
No, if they give us a one star, if they give us a one star rating, I'm going to go and act very poorly at them.
What are you going to do? Just look at them and go, shame, shame, shame. And then walk away?
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read my lines, but I'm going to read them like I'm doing a very poor William Shatner impression. There's going to be no emphasis where it's supposed to be. I'll be like, why did you give us such a poor rating? What is wrong with you? That's pretty much the performance that Michael Bay gets out of people.
I think my ears are bleeding now.
I spent a semester in the theater department, too.
I've spent 28 years in the theater slash whatever department.
You're a sound engineer, Mike. It's
yeah,
not the same exact thing.
You know how many times I've dealt with stage moms going, make sure you turn her mic up because she's the star of this show. She's the best singer out there.
I am the star
no,
of that
ma'am.
Show, Mike.
No.
You turn my mic up.
Turn you down? You got it.
No. You turn my mic up. Even the
down.
Shows that
got
I'm
it.
Not in, what you do is you put a cutout of me on the stage.
Turn you down. Got it.
Yeah, you and half the girls at my college.
There's only one thing to be said for that.
Rejection. How I missed you.
Hey, I said half. You know, there was the other half.
Well, I can't speak for the other half. The other half.
Are you mental?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we got both covered.
Yes.
So, if you want to email us, then please do, weebiegeekspc@gmail.com.
Yes.
Let us know what you think.
Criticisms. If you think that I'm not talking enough and I need to cut Mike off more, that would be really great to send in an email.
And
you're like, why are there even other people on the show other than Eric? I don't understand it.
And that mute switch is where?
The one that I accidentally threw when you were talking to Jess.
Let's see. We already mentioned Amazon earlier in the show. Snuck that one in. I think that's about it.
Yes. Basically, give us money through indirect means. Listen to the show. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies, maybe. I don't know. I don't really care what these people mean to you as long as they listen to the show. I don't. You could just, tell clerks at the grocery store when they're, like, kind of gruff with you and you want to be nice to them because it's your job. You're like, hey, I heard this podcast. You should listen to it. It might cheer you up.
Is that about it?
I think that's it, Mike. Play the music.
Mike.
Not that music.
Oh, you mean...
Give the evacuation code signal. I will bring you back a snowball.
All right, cut the chatter.
This ship will self-destruct in 20 seconds. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
It's over, Prime.
Adventure. Excellent.
Why, oh, why didn't I pick the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
By the way, why are we wearing bras on our heads?
Ceremonial.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the plight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all this plight? Roll them up.
This has been a AB Geeks production.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Check out the pop culture podcast that everyone is talking about. Follow the show on Twitter at Well Watchers. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and thewellwatchers.com.
Introducing Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.